Hello and welcome to On Design. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. Each week, we zoom in on an aspect of design that we think deserves a bit more attention, from overlooked visionaries to architectural triumphs and everything in between. This week, graphic designer Michael Beirut gives us a sneak peek of his new book, Now You See It, and other essays on design. Here's Michael reading from his essay, Fear of Colour.
The first step, they say, is admitting you have a problem. A long time ago, when I used to do a lot of freelancing, I got a call from a friend of mine who had just gotten a job at a well-known cosmetics company. She had an assignment for me. Her company was famous for using a color wheel, a specially printed diagram with dozens of colors arranged in concentric circles at their department store counters. The time had come, as it did periodically, to update these colors. Various experts had been consulted, all the requested changes had been tabulated, and all that remained was for someone to designate specifications for the colors that were changing. This task was seen as more or less clerical and kind of a pain in the ass. "We know exactly what we want," my friend told me, "but no one here has time to do it." So she asked me if I would do it and said they would pay me $2,500. Now, this sort of thing didn't seem like graphic design to me. There was no typography involved, for one thing, and I'm a graphic designer. But $2,500 was a stupendous amount of money for me back then, probably the most I'd ever been offered for a single project at that point. So I said yes. I was told I could buy whatever supplies I needed, so I bought every color specification guide I could find, even splurging on exotic imports from Germany and Japan. Finally, one day after work, I sat down in my apartment at our kitchen table with my pages of notes on the revisions on one side, my multiple specification guides on the other, and the color wheel in the middle. We even happened to own a matte black Richard Sapper-designed Artemide T-Seal lamp, which coincidentally was the exact model that was used at the cosmetic counters where the color wheel would be displayed. I trained it on the task at hand and got down to work. Or, at least I tried to work. Instead, I found myself staring helplessly at the mess before me, clueless as to how to begin. There were just so many chips, so many samples, so many ambiguous notes from the client. This color was supposed to pop more. This one was supposed to be, quote, warmer but more neutral, and so forth. It was overwhelming. And in the middle of it all sat the color wheel. And for the first time, I wondered, what was it really for? How did it actually help women choose and apply their makeup? Why were so many colors necessary? How could anyone tell that colors looked out of date? Did these colors really look the same to other people as they did to me? And how did they look to me anyway? I sat for hours, disconsolately shuffling color chips around, getting more and more confused and despondent. Finally, my wife Dorothy, who'd been trying to ignore my heaving sighs, came over. "Can you tell me again what this is about?" she said. Dorothy's not a designer and has never taken a single class in art or design, so I explained carefully. To my surprise, she responded with enthusiasm. Yes, of course she knew this particular color wheel. All of her friends did. In fact, she herself thought that it was out of date and had thought this very thing for some time. I was amazed. "Really?" she nodded. "Now," she asked, "what exactly are you supposed to be doing?" I showed her the particulars of my assignment and, by way of example, indicated a particularly vexing instruction from the client. I referred to my notes. "Now, they say they want this one to look more like a soft celadon." I had looked up celadon in the dictionary. It said it was a pale, yellow, grayish green, but that wasn't much help. Yellow and gray and green? Really? That's three colors, goddammit. I showed Dorothy the chips I was considering, and she snorted in derision. "You think those are celadon? Let me see what else you got there." She leaned over my shoulder and picked out a few options. "Now, these look nice," she said. And she was right. They did look nice. She asked if she could sit down and pick out some more. And then she picked out some more after that. This was fun for her, and she was actually good at it. Eventually, she designed the whole wheel, and for the next 5 years or so, women at cosmetics counters across America chose their makeup based on colors that my wife Dorothy had picked out at our kitchen table. That's when I began to realize that I had a case of chromatophobia, fear of color. From my earliest days as a designer, I loved black and white. Such authority, such decisiveness. To this day, any collection of my favorite personal projects, whether they're posters, book covers, packaging, whatever, these mark me as a follower of Henry Ford, another enthusiast for wheels, who famously told buyers of his Model T they could have whatever color they wanted as long as it was black. So every now and then, I tip my toe in the vast rainbow-hued sea. It usually comes up with no more than a little bit of red and even a littler bit of yellow. I admire people who can use color with authority. To me, they seem to be able to swim like fishes. So they say that any fear can be surmounted, and I hope one day to conquer mine. Until then, it's back to the comfort of my nice dry towel, well away from the water's edge, suitably striped, of course, in my two favorite colors, black and white.
A very special thanks to Michael Beirut for that reading of his essay, Fear of Colour. It's part of his new collection of essays, Now You See It, and other essays on design from Princeton Architectural Press. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. You can listen to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time or download the podcast anytime you like. And remember, if you can't wait, there are always more delights to uncover in the design pages of Monocle magazine. Thanks for listening and goodbye.